That, Lord, that through the cross we are free. And God, that through your love that we can know that we don't have to worry about being without, because you look after the sparrows. You look after this world, but how much more do you look after us? So, Father, we put our trust in you today. And we declare, Father, that you are number one in our life, oh God. That, Lord, that we will not fit our day around you, but you will be our day. Yes. So God, we just ask you to bless this time together. Thank you that we're a family. Thank you, Lord, that we're together. And we just pray this in your wonderful and your powerful name. Amen. Amen.
Now, praise God this morning. What a privilege we have that we would gather in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that we would be called here this morning, that we're not here by accident, but we're here by divine appointment. And we're here because the King of Kings and the Lord of all Lords knows our name. He knows the number of hair on our head. He knows what our needs are this morning. He knows what the weaknesses of our bodies are and the desires of our hearts this morning. And he's here to meet with us this morning. So I bless you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an amazing blessing I just gave you. That is an amazing blessing. His name has power. His name has authority. His name is beautiful. And welcome you this morning, Tom. So praise God that God is bringing his people and God is setting the captives free. When I come here, I am so blessed because I see living miracles walking around. People who a while back were drunk, people who a while back hardly knew their name, and here they are this morning coherent, here they are this morning excited about God being set free. Like, that's amazing, y'all. But that's the God that we worship. He's a life-changing God. And that's what he does. He's not here to play games. He's here to love us. He's here to excite us. He's here to stimulate us. He's here to free us. He's here to give us meaning in our lives when we've lost meaning. I remember when I'd lost meaning in my life. I remember that depression. I remember that dark hole well. But he did not leave me there. And God is not a respecter of persons, neither will he leave you there. Just a passage. Revelation 15. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways. And God's people said, amen. Yes, your ways are just, God. O King of saints. Like, I'm gathered here this morning not with a group of sinners. I'm gathered here with a group of saints. Right, you are saints. You are children of the Most High God. You have been set aside for a holy task. And some of you can are going to be going out again to serve the Lord our God because he's holy, because he's made you holy. God said, be holy for I am holy. Amen. Right? And this next move of God is going to be a call of holiness. And I'm not preaching yet, by the way, sister. You're going to get to share. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifest. That is the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that we serve. He's no longer a baby in a manger. He's no longer Jesus on the cross broken for us. He's no longer there. He's glorified. Jesus has been glorified. Right? Jesus is glorified. Jesus is in all power now. So glory. So anyway, I've been praying about, Lord, who would you have us to share? Pastor Stan and I met together, and he said, Joe, you just take care of that. And I've been praying about that. So I phoned a dear sister in the Lord I've never heard her share before, and I wanted to hear her story. I wanted to hear her tell us a little bit about herself. And so 2 weeks ago, the Lord told her that she would be sharing today, but she didn't know how it was going to happen.
So when I asked her, she said, yes, the Lord asked, told me 2 weeks ago that I would be sharing today. So Shirley, would you come forth, please, and would you share with us?
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord? Some of you I know, some of you I don't know. But I will be moving to Canada for certain, and I will get to know every one of you, hopefully.
Amen.
We'll be able to work, read souls, and do the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Isn't that exciting, people? Amen. We'll be out in the streets bringing in the lost. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. You took, doesn't matter which one, this looks pretty good here. When I came to Canada, this isn't the way I was going to go, but God is directing me this way. So at this time, I'm just going to obey the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When I came to Canada, May 3rd, last year, I thought I would be here for just a couple of weeks. It will be a year, May 3rd, this year, that I have been here. It has been a delight to be with Mitch and Marina and their family and their dogs. I love pets. I've never had a pet except when I was a young girl growing up. And so I want to give God a special blessing. I want God to give Mitchell and Marina a special blessing.
Amen.
I love you very much.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is free to work in my life as ever, however he sees fit.
Yeah.
It's been years since I've been up at a microphone speaking to congregations. But I will tell you that when God asks me to do something for him, I am quick and obedient.
Amen.
To do so. And I feel like the Lord would have all of us be obedient unto him and his word.
Amen.
And you see, if we walk the walk that he has for us, we will be blessed because obedience brings blessings.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
All right. Obedience. Now, have I been obedient all my life? No. No, I haven't. But I will tell you that in 1975, I gave my life to Christ. It was a long road before I surrendered to him. I became involved in a cult. I did not believe in the God of this world. I did not believe there was a Satan. And nobody could convince me, not even Satan himself. And so, I'm not going to go into details of what happened, but all my walk leading to 1975 had to do with the occult that I was in. Satan does not bless you. He does not serve you. He uses you just to get what he wants. If he can take you and use you to bring division and disunity when your brother and sister believe me, he will. All he needs is a tongue. That's all he needs. Those are harsh words, I think.
Good word.
But they're harsh. When the Spirit of God apprehended me in 1975, all I could remember, I was in a parochial school most of my life, and all I remember was God is love. Isn't that a good statement? God is love. Throughout all the time before 1975, I heard about horrendous things that happened, and I started to think that God, my Heavenly Father, orchestrated it, but he didn't. It was the God of this world. That's the one. And so God took me to Bible school, and I was taught of the gifts of the Spirit. I was taught warfare. I was taught how to pray. And I moved on out in those things. I've seen people healed. I've seen people delivered. Glory to God. I was delivered. I had a house full. When I became a child of God, I had the world in me, so much of the world, that I needed to have a deliverance. I didn't know all about it, but he surrounded me, went to a Christians, took me to different places that I would not even think of going. I'm saying this because I want God's people to be free.
Amen.
We cannot dabble in the occult, in the Ouija board, in tarot cards. We cannot, because we're contaminating our soul. That's what we're doing. And I want God's people to be totally set free so they can do the works that Jesus did. I'm kind of waiting now. You see, when we take and do things in our flesh, we can damage the area that God brought us to, people that we're working with or loving on. You have to remember that unity is the only way in God's kingdom. Unity. And if God wants to do a work amongst his people, in his church that he's building, and I'm using Potter's right now, because this is where God picked this girl up from the States, brought her here to Red Deer. Do you think that I wanted to do this? No, but God had a special way to bring me. He has always done that in assignments that he has given me. And I want to just thank the group this morning for the songs that they played, because it stirred in my heart and it brought me back to the cross, where it all started for me. I came from a family of two brothers and another sister, and my mom and dad's deceased and my sister's deceased. So there's just two boys and I left, and of course the nieces and nephew. Now, they don't know back home that I'm coming back to Canada. Okay, so it's going to be a big surprise for them, because my brother made a statement to me, "Sis, I can't understand why you are in Canada. It is so cold. You don't like snow and cold weather." And I said, "That's right." And I said, "Well, God, how am I going to answer this?" Well, coming next month, I'll be giving him an answer, but I know it'll be the right answer. I don't have a close relationship with my brothers at this time. They don't know Jesus Christ, but they're going to. Because Acts 16:31 says, "They that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, and their household." That means they're my household. So I rejoice in the word of God. It's amazing to stand up here and look out across the room and see the different features in people's faces. I have a question to ask you. If the Lord asked you to get up and give a testimony today, would you do it? Yay! Without having planned anything? Amen. You may say, "What are you doing?" I'm waiting. I've learned to wait. Because God has a special plan he wants to do in some hearts here this morning. Oh my. Wow, Rabashikumbo Haba Haditande Burumananda Haha Ikolo Baharaki Somo Ambre Kosi Dabarabo Sondo Abasandiabu Kama Ah Hibu Kohoji Bahasitia. You see, it's by my spirit that I get things done. You see, it's my spirit that will move things out of the way. And I have a tool. Tongues. Tongues is one of my weapons. One of my weapons. So if you have heard that tongues is not for today, I hate to tell you this. Whoever told you that is wrong. Boroko sama habota bara manende hoto dori kana haha elanilo koshiliba kando ori kama na ha baba boromo oya maha ya bevoketia ori kama na basatoro oh ya na 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 ne doro mono bo koto bora kisi bi ahama wobora bakaso yolo no no lila na nada ando bebato mo ikam babate bo Rikobo Boriba Sando Motoramana Yedo 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 Nanaba Habubo Hikamada Tia Sotura Ho Yabababa Sikamota Alelomo Kutubora Kasido Ho 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 Yamakaha. Oh, ya, says the Lord. There are many of you in here that today I want you to interpret my tongues. Koriba Kishitiyata. So if my servant would call on you, please step out and act in faith and do the things that I want to do through you. I will do it through you. Do not be afraid. Many of you have come from Pentecostal areas. Many of you have tasted the good things of God. And many of you are sour in those things. And that is when God is going to change you. He's going to change everything about you. One touch from the Master's hand, woo, can change you forever. One touch of blood. What did one touch of blood do for us all? It redeemed us. We have eternal life. We have eternal life. We will live forever with Jesus. With Jesus, with God, our Heavenly Father. Doesn't that excite you, folks? Oh, I tell you, I am so excited. I would like to go now. I have tried 3 times in my life to go up. But God had other people praying for me. It did not go. It did not work. I'm still here because I have a work that God wants to finish, and He needs me. He needs little old me. And again, He brought me to Canada. He brought me to Canada for such a time as this. He hasn't forgotten about the times. He hasn't forgotten about people that He wants to use. You see, I have moved by the Spirit many times in the giftings. In the 80s, I was on the road. I was on campus Challenge Ministries. I had a marvelous time. I was scared because I never had been on campuses before. I didn't even know the alphabet. I didn't know the... I knew nothing about fraternities, sororities. But the greater one in me did it all. He showed me. So let's get back to tongues. I really feel it's important because I don't know how much time, and God knows exactly what He wants to do. If I point to you or I call you up, will you please come forward? And you're doing it not for me, surely, but you're doing it for the Spirit of the Living God. Robo Shanda Mahakisoto Dora Kina Baba Hati Bola Hibo Koshitia Taya Joya. Would you come up, please? Koriba Shinda Mahasoto Kathleen, would you come, please? Korima Kasambrova. Frank Hanks, would you come up, please? Kobra Mama Badia Danteria Kositia. Kombra Baba Kando Morobokisitia Taya. I really don't know these people just by name. We have had relationships, and they're good. Roba Shandari Meribiki Dambre Kosotura. Somebody up here is going to give a message in tongues, and somebody will interpret it by the Holy Ghost. It's nothing to be afraid of. We all know that. We don't need to be afraid of God. Frank gives prophecies all the time. By the Spirit of God. So Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you just have your way. You have your people up here this morning, God, and I ask that they would be quick and obedient to the Spirit of the Living God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. He shadakarabasiko takarabayandarakiyo katakarabadidi. Hodiara kiso takarabasiko takarabasiko takarabayandarabaki takarabayai. He takasha satakabayai. Hoda karayai. Do you want to interpret it? Or I could do it too. Okay. For the Spirit of the Lord would say to you, He desires to do a new thing in this place. He desires to do a new thing in your heart. The Spirit of the Lord wants to bring fresh intimacy, fresh power, and fresh revelation to His people. The Spirit of the Lord wants to bring cleansing and freedom in this place. Do not be afraid, says the Lord, for I desire good things. My word says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. The Spirit of the Lord says, I desire to set my people free. Let my spirit move, says the Lord. Let me dig you deep, says the Lord.
Do not be afraid. Let my refiner's fire come. Because I desire to set my people free. I have freedom. I have life to give you. But cooperate with me, says the Lord. Let me plow the new ground in your heart. Let me open your eyes to see. Let me open your ears to hear. Be courageous. Be courageous. I have great things to show you. I have great things to reveal to you because I love you, says the Lord. Do not be afraid of my spirit. Do not be afraid of my power. For I do good things, says the Lord, and I will not harm you.
I got a scripture here. This is out of Romans chapter 1, verse 11. It's the Apostle Paul talking about his desired trip to Rome. And he really wanted to go. He really wanted to go because he had something that he wanted to deposit into the church at Rome. And he was an apostle, so it was his duty to impart to other people, to impart spiritual gifts. And he says here in Romans 1, verse 11, "How I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end that you may be established." So the Apostle Paul knew that it is spiritual gifts that will establish believers. We all have gifts and we all have callings in the Spirit. We're all part of the bigger body of Christ. We can look at our own body to realize the fullness of what we all are together, because we are one body. I have parts, and all of the parts work together to make my life work. And the body of Christ works the same way. But where we differ in callings and where we differ in anointings makes us unique. Now, we should celebrate our own uniqueness, because the Bible says that the glory of God is expressed in His creation. We're His creation. So your uniqueness, coupled with the gifts of the Spirit, cause you to be able to function and do what God has called you to do. Do these gifts make you any more special than anybody else? No, because we're all equal in God's eyes. We're all special in God's eyes. And just because you don't flow in a particular gift, two things. Either it has not been imparted to you yet by someone through the laying on of hands of the presbytery, or by prophecy. These are two ways that spiritual gifts are imparted to people, through prophecy and through the laying on of hands. So if you have not yet received giftings that go along with what makes you uniquely special in that body and also supports the body, then impartation is important. Impartation. But that's what Paul said. He said that spiritual gifts will establish believers. Now, as believers, sometimes we don't feel like we're being established. We don't feel like we're growing. We don't feel like we're being strengthened. We feel like we're kind of wandering through life, not really knowing what's next. But these spiritual gifts will establish you. My son, when he first started riding his bike, he couldn't ride a two-wheeler. He wasn't established in muscle memory. He wasn't established in, understanding how the pedals work. And, you can watch somebody ride a bike, but until you get on a bike and ride it, you can't really ride the bike. You don't have the skills yet. So it is in the Spirit. In the Spirit, when we don't have the skills to fulfill the callings that God has given us in our life, then the spiritual gifts which establish the believer are like training wheels. My son, you strap on a set of training wheels and he can go anywhere with that bike, right? Because it establishes him a little bit better. And so these spiritual gifts are not some weird notion where somebody just acts all weird and then we're all supposed to think that's God. No, it's something that establishes a believer to be able to function just like Jesus Christ. Your training wheels to establish you and help you to function in the body of Christ. So that's what he called me to say.
It was good. God knows what he's doing. Kathleen, do you have anything you want to share?
Is there anyone in the congregation that has a word from heaven? Well, that's all right. That doesn't change the Spirit of God within me. I'm not moved by this at all. I'm not. Yes.
Sure, wherever you want to do, honey. You can come up here or you can stay down there.
My name is Artis. I didn't know I had gifts, because we're taught that they're, I guess, my family has gifts, actually, and we're taught to ignore them. We read the Bible, we were brought to church, we were, you know, but we were ignored them, sort of. Henceforth, we do things like self-medicate. I don't know what to say, actually. So God is with me, actually, a lot of the time. I don't know what else to say. I feel him right now. I feel it right now. It's beautiful.
You're right. Thank you for Shirley. Some things are very strange for us. Some things overwhelm us. Some things we don't understand. Some things are confusing for us. So the supernatural is so far beyond us at times that we don't know how to respond. So, Father, we just want to thank you for Shirley. We want to thank you for her boldness. We want to thank you, Father, for her love. We want to thank you for your anointing upon her. We want to thank you, Father, for her calling. We want to thank you, Father, that you have called her to snow. Father, that you don't give up on us, God, and that you're faithful to us, and that you're good in everything you do in every one of us, and that your call upon Shirley is different than perhaps others, but Father, you've called every one of us to be a witness of your Son. So thank you for Shirley today, Lord. Thank you for her love. Thank you that she is our sister and she is part of our family. We thank you for your glory, God, that you're going to reveal in all of us for your namesake so that the captives can be set free. And we thank you for those things right now in the awesome name of Jesus Christ. We love you, Shirley. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's just a privilege to stand up here. And my heart is very much with Pastor Stan this morning, with his family, that he's being ministered to, because he's with his family, with his children, with his grandchildren this morning. And I just want you to know that I have a lot of respect for Pastor Stan, that he is my brother in Christ Jesus, that I acknowledge his leadership. I acknowledge his leadership in the downtown. I acknowledge what God permitted to bring this pastor to this place. And it was not easy for him. But the Lord has brought him here. He's a gifted pastor. He's a gifted leader. And it's my privilege to be under his ministry. And it's your privilege as well. He's growing in the things of the Holy Spirit. And I've told him many times, Pastor Stan, the greatest change that I've seen in downtown Red Deer is you. You know, is you. So I'm excited, and I hope you're excited with me this morning for our pastor, but also for each one of you and the gift that you are to us. And do you see yourself as that gift? If you're new this morning, you probably found out that we're not exactly polished.
We don't exactly have everything together, right? We really don't have everything together. That oftentimes we're flying by the seat of our pants because we're seeking to be dependent on the Lord, right? And it's not about us, it's only about Him. It's only for His glory. And if Jesus was going to be in Red Deer, He would be in the downtown. He would be with the sinners. He would be with those that are struggling. He would be with us. With us. Because there's nothing polished about us. But we're real. We're real. And we're real before God. And we're struggling at times. And we're struggling with one another at times. And God is dealing with those rough edges among us. So that we can grow in the things of the Spirit of God. We can grow in love with one another. We can grow together because we're part of the same kingdom and we're serving the same King. We're serving the same King. Right? Your ministry is my ministry. I reflect you and you reflect me, and it's all for His glory. We cannot lift ourselves up. We can only lift Him up. The purpose of the church is not to exalt the church. The purpose of the church is to exalt Jesus. And going to Tim Hortons doesn't make you a donut any more than going to church makes you a Christian. Right? So we're here because we are Christians. We're here because we've been called to be His followers. We are disciples of Jesus Christ in the year 2012. You are His disciples. You are living stones built into a spiritual habitation. You are sons and daughters of the King. And until we begin to see ourselves, Peter said, we're called to speak like the oracles of God. I'm not going to apologize for the cross. I'm not going to apologize for the gospel. But let us proclaim these words in truth and in love. And by the Spirit and the holiness of God, because these are holy words, as you said, Luis. When we come up here, we do not come up here taking it lightly. There are little bunnies and little lambs among us this morning. People who are so broken. People who do not know God's love for them, the power of God in them, how special they are in the kingdom of heaven. They look at their lives and they look at the failure and they look at the loss and they look at the disappointment. And sometimes they're so overwhelmed by their pain. Yesterday I had a very painful experience. My wife and I were walking along with our puppy and going for a walk, and we noticed this little bunny. Melanie noticed this little bunny. And it's just laying there. It's so small. It's so precious. It's so tender. It's so helpless. And she touches the little bunny and it doesn't go anywhere. Like it's just, it doesn't move, and there are ants crawling all over it. You know, these large red ants crawling all over this little bunny. So I pick up this little bunny and its leg is facing the opposite way. And this bunny's in pain. This little bunny is suffering. So we're driving around town trying to find something open so that we can hand this off and maybe they can help this little bunny, or probably they're going to euthanize this little bunny because it's in such pain, it's not well. It's in shock, it's dying. So we bring the little bunny home and I put water in a thing and I take a bucket and I push this little bunny down into the water and I drown the little bunny. And my heart just ached for this little bunny. I didn't want to euthanize this little bunny. I didn't want to hurt it. I held it in my hands. I said, Jesus, would you just heal this little bunny, Lord? My heart ached. It was so precious. It was soft and gentle. And yet I had to take its life. And I was thankful that we had found this little bunny, that we would not torment it, that we would be gentle with it and love it. And I committed it into the Lord's hands as I was killing it, and I didn't like it. Later on that evening, the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, Jill, you hurt for that little bunny. I said, yes, Lord. He said, I have little bunnies on the street. Jill, my children on the street are dying. Jill. And I hurt when I see them hurt. I hurt when I see them die. I hurt when I see them overdose. I love them. and God ministered to my heart, and I can even now see that little bunny, see the eyes of that little bunny, it's just floating in the water, and I've taken its life. But God sees. There's been times in downtown Red Deer in a week when we've lost 6 people to overdoses. And he sees, and his heart aches for them. God loves them. God loves the addicted. God loves sinners. God loves the brokenhearted. God loves the downcast. God loves the weakest of the weak. He just loves them. And that's why we're here. We're here because we're called to be an arrow. We're here because we're called to walk in the Spirit of God. We're here so the captives can be set free. And I'm so delighted to be here because I see miracles walking around. I see a man here this morning that every time I'd see him, he was drunk and he'd threaten to beat me up. And this morning, he's doing great. You know, he's doing great. God has set him free. God is working in his life. God is loving on him. And when I spoke to him this morning, I said, "You've changed." He said, "I don't know what's going on." I said, "I do. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. God is setting you free. God just loves you." And even Preston this morning, I didn't know Petco's name was Preston. I'm talking to, I said, I forget your name. What's your name? He said, "Preston." I said, I don't recognize that. What name? He said, "Pepto." Oh, yeah, Pepto. No, it's Preston. His name's Preston this morning. So when we see our brothers and sisters on the street, we greet them. Scott, for example, one time is going by, goes into an ATM, and there's 3 people in there. And he talks with them, and of course they asked for money, and he gave them whatever little bit he had. And then as he was leaving, they said, "Thank you for noticing us. Thank you for noticing us." Just a smile, just a kind word can change people's lives. Because you are the light of the world, and you are the salt of the earth. Turn with me to the book of Luke. And Shirley, thank you for sharing. That took much courage this morning. To be yourself. In Luke chapter 10, so here's Jesus, the Lord our God, Jesus, the Son of the living God, Jesus, the one who's dressed in a robe dripped in blood, and his name is the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. Jesus, the King of all kings, and at whose name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That one. And so here's Jesus before he's been glorified. In Luke chapter 10, it says, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others." This is beside the 12, 70 others. "And he sent them out 2 by 2, and before his face they went into every city and place where he himself was about to go." So they were going to prepare for him to come. To that city. There's a whole world out there. And sometimes you don't feel like you have a lot of meaning, that your life is not significant. There's a whole world out there waiting for you to come. Red Deer City is waiting for you to come, to stand up, to be that child of God, that anointed one, so that people can come to the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Pastor Stan's been preaching on the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, proclaim the name of Jesus. Then he said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So Lord, we ask right now and together, God, that you would send forth laborers into your harvest field, God. Lord, that there's a world waiting for your name to be proclaimed, that they might come to you, Jesus. That you might bless, Lord, your little lambs, Lord. That you would bless your little bunnies, Father, the helpless ones. And that you would set them free and encourage them this morning. He says, "Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." The world isn't necessarily an easy place to be. You'll notice that oftentimes, people will come against you. People will put you down. There's going to be conflict. And the challenge is to love. And God, it's a challenge sometimes. I made up this slogan years ago. I look to the God above and all I see is love. I look to his saints below and above I wish to go. You know, that sometimes it's brutal because we the saints don't love on one another. We don't encourage one another. So I would just like to take a moment just to interrupt things. The one thing I've noticed about this place is that you guys are lovers. You guys love on one another. Right, Doris? You're lovers.
Yeah.
She loves on me all the time, Doris. And on so many of us. So would you just take a moment? Would you of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you welcome people here? And if you're new, would you welcome them here this morning? Love on one another. Let's just take 5 minutes to love on one another. Glory.
You're awesome.
Well, we just love you, Arlene. We love you too, brother. You're awesome. Amen. Morning. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome this morning. God bless you. Welcome this morning. Welcome this morning. God bless you. Hi. She's in the front there. Welcome this morning. God bless you. God bless you, Gladys. Hey, Jerry. God bless you. Good morning. God bless you. God bless you, Earl. Amen. Welcome this morning. It's good to be here. Praise you, Jesus. His gospel is a gospel of love. Amen. He's a lover. Jesus is a lover. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Glory to God. Jesus is a lover. He just loves us so much. And I thank you for loving on one another this morning. I thank you for encouraging one another in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I thank you that God is, and I thank God that God's working in you to be the people that He's calling to be, to walk in love. And sometimes it's hard. Lord, give us thick skins at times so that we would not respond negatively to one another. You know, that we would just continue to love, that we would continue to pour out your love, God. It's about your love. Amen. Yes, Darcy, if she wasn't married, she'd be yours. Glory. Jesus said, carry not money bag, sack, sandals, and greet one another on the, and greet no one on the road. But whatever house you enter, say peace to this house. Amen. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. That person who's preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of his wages. There are not people who beg. They don't need to beg. God will provide. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick who are there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God has come near to you. God's desire is that his kingdom would come near to you. And where the kingdom is, that's where the king is. And where the king is, that's where the kingdom is. And God's desire is for the kingdom of God to come near to you. That you would walk in the kingdom of God. I know this brother. He was like this yesterday too. Excuse me, brother. This is not unusual among us, and that's okay. We look at interruption at times as an opportunity, right? because that's what we're dealing with. Except God sets the captives free, the captives won't be set free. Right?
For Jesus, P is for Christ, and heaven is for heaven, and O is for rest. Good luck.
Bless them, Father. Again, you know what? It's an opportunity to love. It's okay if we're interrupted. It's okay if we're interrupted. Because it's not about us, it's only about Jesus. And so here we are, going back to the Word of God. Heal the sick who are there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. God's desire is his kingdom would dwell in you. And so what happens is if they reject you, kick the dust off your feet, and it would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day than that city, that town, because they rejected me. And you know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. But listen what happens. He says, he who hears you, hears me. He who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So that you are representatives of the kingdom of heaven. Know, as was shared this morning, know your calling. Know your anointing, know your gifting. And walk with it as if you speak as the oracles of God. Because the world needs to hear his voice through you. The Lord, the people need to know his hands through your touch. They need to know his love through your smile. The world is a dark place. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in your name. They're excited about the power of God. They're excited about the anointing of God. They know there's authority in Jesus' name. They understand that authority. They walk in it, and they're excited in it. And the power of God is a wonderful thing. It's wonderful when you walk in the anointing. It's wonderful when you experience God's presence and you begin to shake. It's wonderful when you begin to operate in the gifts that you've received. It's awesome. But notice what it says here. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall in many ways harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Do not rejoice. Father, we just bless this man. Let's just agree together, Lord. We just want to pray for this man, God. We just ask, Lord, that you would set him free from the powers of darkness, from the lies, from the confusion, from the destruction in his life. And we just pray and we agree together, God, that you would touch him, that you would set him free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for him. Thank you, Scott. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the serpents and the scorpions are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That this is about Jesus. We as the saints of God don't run after the power. We run after the Lord. And that power, he doesn't flaunt often. My God is so humble. My God, your God is so humble, he doesn't flaunt his power. That when he manifests his power, he's doing it out of humility, out of love, out of gentleness, out of grace. He never flaunts his power. And that we do not rejoice, Lord, in your power, but rather we rejoice, Lord, that our names are written in heaven, because that's where we're going to spend eternity with you, God. Right? That's where we're going to spend eternity with you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. So, Lord, we rejoice in you this morning. We rejoice in who you are. We sang how great thou art this morning. And it's true. When I was an atheist, I chose atheism at the age of 12. That was my favorite song. I was a confused boy. At the age of 12, I chose atheism, and How Great Thou Art was my favorite song. So it was just a privilege to sing that this morning as one of his children instead of as an atheist. And I would sing, How Great Thou Art, and I'd be walking around, How Great Thou Art, and I had no clue about the existence of God. And my family had no clue about the existence of God. But praise the Lord that he brought me to himself. So in the book of Acts chapter 1, here's Luke, and Luke is a Greek doctor. Luke is a very methodical individual. He's a man who looks at things and doesn't look at them without really discerning that, you know, when I'm going to write to you, I'm going to write to you in a logical way. I'm going to write to you in a way that you can understand. I'm going to write to you with an order, like this is the exact order of things. I'm going to be very particular. That's just who I am. I'm a doctor. And so in Luke chapter 1, it says, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which are most surely believed among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministered to the word delivered to us, and he's talking about the apostles, he says, it seemed good to me also, having had complete understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus." So Theophilus would have been a wealthy man, a man with authority, position, and he was wanting to help him understand. And the name Theophilus means beloved of God. But he wanted to share these truths in a way that would be completely in order. And he was very particular about his order, and he was very particular about his words. And these words have continued to influence people for 2,000 plus years. These words have continued to impress themselves upon people and change people's lives for over 2,000 years, coming from Dr. Luke. So in the book of Acts chapter 1, again, Luke says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus," Luke chapter 1, "of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he'd chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs," I'm reading from the New King James, "being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." So notice, Jesus is come back with many infallible proofs that are unmistakable. He gave evidence of who he was. He showed them the holes in his hands. He showed them the cut in his side, the thorn marks in his head. He showed them who he was. And it was unmistakable. Everything he showed them proved to them that he was the glorified Messiah, the one spoken of in the book of Exodus, the book of Deuteronomy, that he was this one. But notice what it says here. He says in verse 2, "after he, through the Holy Spirit," even, and I found this interesting because I'd never seen it before, even after Jesus was glorified, he's continued to speak through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? I've never seen that before. Even after he's glorified, he's the King of all kings, he's the Lord of all lords, he's seated at the right hand of the Father with authority, he continues to speak through the person of the Holy Spirit. Again, acknowledging the ministry of the person of the Holy Spirit. I've never seen it before. And notice also, he was with them, and understand, after Jesus was glorified, he continued to appear to the apostles for 40 days. And when he appeared to them, he would come to them, and he would teach them about the kingdom of heaven. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what you need to proclaim. You need to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. But before you do, you need to wait for the promise of the Father. It's been little understood among us as Christians. I heard yesterday a woman that shared with Mitchell about the 10 virgins. And the Lord impressed upon her spirit, and I'm just going to throw this out, God has to minister everything to us anyway, that the 5 virgins who don't make it, that's half the church. And part of it, is we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven except we're born of the Spirit. Right? You have to be born of the Spirit. To as many as received him, in John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power, and the authority, the exousia. He gave them the right, the power, the authority to become the children of God, who were born not of men, nor of man, nor the blood of man, but who were born of God. Like virtually everyone here this morning has been born of God. You are children of the Spirit of God. And the first ever for that to happen to was Jesus, right? Jesus was the first person born of the Spirit. It had never happened before. This was new. So the new revelation is to be born again. That's why Jesus shared with Nicodemus. The woman at the well, he shared a lot more with her than with Nicodemus. Because she came as a woman, as a despised woman, and Jesus was lifting up what it means to be a woman, when women were not lifted up. And so, but yet to Nicodemus, who came to him by night, which means he was in darkness. It symbolizes he was in darkness. He didn't know. So he says to Nicodemus, you must be born genethianosen, from above. You must be born of the Spirit of God. And that flesh and blood will not inhabit the kingdom of heaven, but only those born of the Spirit. Right? And so this is everything of us, everything that it means to be Christian is spiritual. And that's why when we're reading the scriptures, at first it sounds like I've got to do so much work. You've got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but we forget it's God working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's by the Holy Spirit in me that I'm being changed outside, inside out. I'm not being changed by the law outside in. I'm being changed by God. And that's what's happening here. Many are being changed by God, but that means you need to learn to rely upon God. God, help me. Three very powerful words. God, help me. I can't do this. And the truth is, none of us can. A new commandment I give unto you, that you would agapeo. The word agapeo is the word love in the Greek, and it has to do with the Father's love for his Son. That we would love one another with an agapeo love, God's love. That's an impossible command, except that it's the Holy Spirit and you and I doing it. And oh, it's tough sometimes. But again, we put our flesh down. We put our flesh down. We put our anger down at times. We put our frustration down with each other, because in a family, sometimes we're going to fight. And yet we're going to love one another, and we're going to forgive one another, because in the Lord's Prayer, where it says, Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. And I used to wonder for years, what name are you talking about? Well, the name of God is rarely talked about in the New Testament. The name Father. God's name is Father, is holy, and God's will and the kingdom of heaven is that everybody would call him Father. People outside who don't know yet would be able to call him Abba, Father. That's God's will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God's will is that we would know him as our Father. Intimate relationship. If you don't know God intimately as your Father today, then Jesus said, whenever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's a promise. Jesus is here this morning. Jesus is, because he said so, not because I say so. And God is faithful to his word. Would you agree? God is faithful to his word. Jesus is here this morning. If you've not walked with God, or if you've turned away from God and you've been walking your own way and you know that it doesn't work, I know it doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. I've tried it. And I tested God when it said not to test him. And I've shared this with you before. I failed. God passed. God was faithful. God was faithful. God is faithful. God will always be faithful. God is good all the time. When I'm struggling, I'm that little bunny. He could crush me. But he doesn't. He forgives me, and I get up again, and my broken leg is healed. I'm not limping around anymore. I'm complete as a human being because Christ is in me and in you. And we go on with God. We go on with God. But it's interesting in the book of Luke chapter 10. Here's a question for you. cares for 70 that he sends out, and he sends them out with power, but he wasn't resurrected yet. The Holy Spirit hadn't come upon them yet. The Holy Spirit wasn't living within them yet. How did they do these things? It's interesting, I've been asking God that question. God, you weren't resurrected yet, so the Holy Spirit hadn't come upon them yet. Have a good day, Kara. The Holy Spirit hadn't come upon them yet. Jesus, you couldn't be born again until he was resurrected, so he wasn't living within them yet. So how did they do this? And I've been seeking God about that and asking God, and it was very cool. When you ask God, he answers you. Jesus said, do you not believe, I think this is it. Yes, it is, John. Jesus said, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. The signs and wonders gospel that Jesus performed, the gospel is meant to be preached today with signs and wonders. Right? It's a signs and wonders gospel. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. But we don't rejoice in the power. We rejoice in our salvation in Christ Jesus. Right? But yet, it's meant to be a gospel of power. There's meant to be power in your life. There's meant to be power in the Holy Spirit. And that power can help you to overcome that addiction. That power can help you to overcome that fleshly desire. That power can help you to love those who don't love you. That power can help you to forgive others who've hurt you desperately, that you can hardly look up at times, but can heal your heart so that you're being set free. And we know unforgiveness doesn't hurt the person we've not forgiven, it only hurts us. So that power is there for you today to grab onto. Remember Pastor Stan talked about the woman with the issue of blood last week, right? And Jesus is walking by, and this woman, 12 years, being helped by physicians, Jesus is walking by, she presses through the crowd with every ounce that she has left. This woman is dying. She's dying. There's no hope for her, and she knows it. But she hears about this Jesus. She hears that he's a teacher. She hears that he has a ministry of power, that he's different than everybody else. She presses through the crowd. She presses with every ounce of her being, knowing that if she doesn't touch him, she's going to die. So she's determined. She's determined to touch him. And that's sometimes what we're lacking. We're not determined to touch him. We're not determined to reach out with every ounce that we've got left, reach out and touch him and grab onto him so that we can live our lives with him and for him. We're not determined, but she was determined. And there she lay, kneeling on the ground, healed. And Jesus turns around, and everybody's touching him. It's a crowd of people, and he says, who touched me? Who touched me? What do you mean, Lord? What do you mean? Jesus, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. It's a whole crowd of people. No, he says, who touched me? The crowd opens, and there's a little woman there. And she was healed. He didn't even know who touched him. But this he knew. He was familiar with this. He was acquainted with this. He lived this. Power of God had gone out from his body, because someone with faith grabbed on to Jesus. Someone with faith grabbed on to Jesus. Are you prepared with that issue in your life to grab on to Jesus? To grab on to Jesus and say, I have a sore ankle. My ankle's still sore. And I walk around, my ankle's sore, and I say, Lord, I'm healed by your blood. Lord, by your stripes, I'm healed. I don't care if my ankle hurts, Lord. I'm healed by your blood, Jesus. I'm healed, Jesus, because you're Lord of lords and you're King of kings and your word is true. And Isaiah wrote particularly in Isaiah 53, by your stripes, I'm healed. So I'm healed, Lord. I don't care if I'm feeling it. I don't care. Your word says so. That's good enough for me. Right? That's good enough for me. So I'm grabbing on. I'm holding on. I'm not letting go. I'm not going to let this ankle disturb me. I'm going to continue to press into the kingdom. I'm going to continue to receive from my King. Joel Osteen's mother had 3 weeks left to live, or 3 months left to live. She had cancer. It wasn't the last time, or the first time that she had cancer. 3 months left to live. And she said, Jesus, by your stripes, I'm healed. Jesus, by your stripes, I'm healed. And 30 years later, she's still saying, Jesus, by your stripes, I'm healed.
Yeah.
Right? 30 years later. 30 years later. Are you just going to accept the circumstances of your life because that's your life? No, I'm going to accept the circumstances of my life because it's His life. I've been crucified with Christ, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. That's the way I'm going to live my life. It's a choice. But what happens is as you grab on by faith, not by feeling, your feelings will follow your faith. You don't go the other way around. I'm not going to follow my feelings. My feelings will confuse me. My feelings will go against faith. Faith, hope, and faith, hope, and feeling were walking on a wall. Feeling came so close to the edge it took an awful fall. Hope reached in to grab feeling and fell in two. But faith got feeling and hope and lift them up to be in Jesus too. Right? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Whatever circumstance of your life this morning, that's cool, that came back to mind. But whatever your circumstance this morning, you're worshiping an overcomer. You're worshiping the Son of God. You're worshiping the King of Kings. You're worshiping the Lord our God. The God, He breathes out sons. My God breathes out sons. Is your God as big as my God? He breathes out sons millions of times larger than our sun. That's my God. I get excited about this God. I get excited about the cross. I get excited about what Jesus has done for me. Don, Jesus says it's finished. It's finished. What do you need this morning? It's finished. What do you need this morning? It's there for you. You just have to grab on by faith. Grab on. No, I'm not letting go. And the devil's whispering in your ear. It's not true. Don't take this too seriously. No, take it seriously. It's true. Devil say, no, this is just a bunch of Christian stuff. It's not really for you. God doesn't love you. Oh, yes, He does. And it's a lie. Are you going to believe the liar and the father of lies? Or are you going to believe the King of Kings? Let's believe the King of Kings. Let's take Jesus at His word. Let's go with everything that we are. Let us make disciples. Let's talk to people on the street and say, do you know Jesus today? Do you know love today? Do you know truth today? Do you know hope today? And if you don't, I've got something to share with you. Right? And Lord, provide the opportunity. The fields are white unto harvest. Praise the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into that harvest field. But I hope you're one of the ones ready to go. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to be used by God? That's the issue here. I have found, going to Baptist churches and many other churches, and I love my brothers and sisters, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a lordship issue. Oh, if He baptizes me in the Holy Spirit, where would He send me? Oh, Lord, not China. Oh, Lord, please not Pakistan. Oh, God, please don't send me to Mexico. They speak Spanish down there. Right, Luis? Right? Don't send me to Bogota. No, Lord. And our response needs to be, as Shirley shared today, yes, Lord. That's yes to His gifts. That's yes to His power. But we're not going to glory in His gifts nor in His power. We're only going to glory in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And we're going to walk in His authority. And we're going to walk in His power. And the captives will be set free. The dead will rise. The sick will be healed. And there's authority in Jesus' name. And that's who you are. Take it this morning. Take it this morning. Take who you are this morning. This is your calling before God. This is your calling before the kingdom of heaven. The sick will be healed. The dead will rise. Right? Demons will be cast out in the name of Jesus. And it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. And it's never going to change because His word is true. Not one jot or tittle is going to fall away from God's word without being accomplished. That's who He is. And this is it. This is the truth. And the Apostle Paul said that your faith would not be in the wisdom of Jill, but your faith would be in the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. not Jill in me. I'm the rock. I'm the stone. I'm the precious cornerstone. And those who believe in me, Jesus said, will never be put to shame. And I will not be put to shame because He is one. He is the one. He is the one. He's the one for you, and He's the one for me, and He's the one for the unbeliever down the street. He's the one for the prostitute on the street corner. He's the one for the addicted one over here. He's the one for the abused woman. He's the one. There's only one. His name is Jesus. There's only one. And you're His disciple in 2012. You're the called one. You're special. You're unique. As Frank shared this morning, you have a unique calling before God. You're the one that He's calling today. Don't think that you're not worthy. Much like I said Luke about his motorcycle. I said, Luke, you robbed that guy. He said, excuse me? Don't call God a thief. God gave me that bike. And I stood rebuked and I said, you're right, brother, I'm sorry. You got that bike from Jesus. Jesus gave you that bike. It was a deal. It was a steal of a deal. But no, He didn't steal it. Jesus gave it to him as a blessing. That's our God. Our God blesses Luke with a motorcycle. But Luke, you can guarantee, given the opportunity, he will share the gospel with others. Anointed and called of God. Iris, anointed and called of God. Every one of you, anointed and called of God. Special. You're special. You're special because He loves you. You're special because He shed His blood for you. You're special because He has a calling for you. And Joyce, you did an awesome job this morning. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not together. But thanks. I wasn't expecting anything that quick. She knows me better than I thought. Thanks, Doris. I know you better than I thought. And you're right. And you're right. I'm not together this morning. But I can tell you there is one who is. And we proclaim Him our Lord, our King, and we belong to Him now. That I don't belong to me. And you don't belong to you. You've been bought by a price. And Jesus said in John 14, He said, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sakes of the works themselves. And even after glorified, Jesus still spoke through the person of the Holy Spirit. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works shall he do than I do. Wow. 1 John 2 verse 6, it says, saints of God, it says this. If you believe in him, then walk even as Jesus walked. You are called to walk even as the Son of God walked. You may be one who has psychological issues this morning. Confusion reigns. Lack of self-confidence. Not sure of who you are or whose you are at times. And there's an answer for that. His name's Jesus. You may be somebody who's struggling with an addiction. You look okay on the outside, but on the inside, you know. There's an answer for that. His name is Jesus. You may be somebody who's struggling with a sickness and a disease that does not want to let go. And there's an answer for that. His name is Jesus. Even if you're not healed today, you are going to continue to walk and you are going to continue to confess that by your stripes, Lord, I am healed. You may be addicted to cigarettes. You know, smoking isn't a sin. The addiction is a sin. Right? It's irrelevant, really. But it's what controls you. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to compete with anything that controls you. Right? Why? Because He loves you so much. He doesn't want anything to destroy you. He just loves you so much. You're that little bunny in His hand. But unlike me, who walks in humanity, I prayed and I said, Lord, would you heal this little bunny? And He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. And He didn't. So I had to do what I didn't want to do. But unlike Jesus, Jesus looks upon you and he says, yes, I can. So today, if you have a need with God, if there's anything in your life that you need changed, it could be a family member that's a pain in your butt. You know, they just mock you for Jesus, or they don't like you because of your Jesus, or they just don't like you because you're their brother or sister, and that happens too. Pray for them this morning. Right? Whoever it may be, little ones, bless you. But today, there are saints in this room. People who know how to pray, people who have faith, people who have walked with God for years, people who love. Father, bless them. If there's anything that you want or need from God today, anything that you want from God today, just keep your focus on me. Right? And that anything that you need or want from God today, God has that for you because you are his child and God is your father. God is your father. So, there are many people to pray with you today. And Father, let me just pray. Father, I pray that your anointing would be upon your saints today, God. I pray, Lord, that as your people pray for others, when they ask someone to pray for them, God, that you would hear, Lord, and that your power would go forth, Jesus, and that people would be set free in this place today, God. And Father, we thank you that regardless of the disruption this morning, your word has gone forth, your word will bear fruit, your word will lift up Jesus Christ, your Son. And Lord, let your healing flow now, let your deliverance flow now, let your power flow now, and we give you all of the glory, Father. We give you all of the honor and all of the praise, and we commit these things and each one of us, and however you want to lead, Lord, we commit it into your hands now, in Jesus' name. I thank you for listening. And I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go forth in his love and in his power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me talk about Jody for a minute. Jody's my cousin. And I've known this boy since he was a baby. Jody is not a normal thing, but what I also know is that Satan's got a hold of him so bad, and he's hurting so bad. The boy lost his mom when he was 11 years old, and he never got to say goodbye to her. And he's been hurt by lots of things. He's lost a lot of people that are important to him. And he's lashing out, and he hurts. I just read a story in the Bible where it talks about the boy who's demon possessed. He throws himself at things and lashes out and screams and hollers. And nobody can do anything about it. But I also know that there's a God who cares.
Amen.
I know there's a God who loves that boy.
Amen.
And when I'm out there, when my kids and I said, Jordy, I want you to know I love you, he goes, shut up. Know what he loves me, so do you do? So the more I told him that he was loved, the more this thing came at me. And I looked and I thought, God, you just need to touch him. You need to take it. I know this is not the Jordy, and a lot of you guys, this is the only Jordy you've ever seen. But I'll tell you, this is not the Jordy I grew up with. not the Jordan that I love. Jordan I love is a talented young man who can draw, who can play guitar, who's got a lot of gifts, who's got a really soft, soft heart about him. The Jordan we see right now is a young man.